Good morning. I'm very sorry we're a drop late. I was just checking on a yard site. It doesn't hurt to mention this, that our custom is, based on halacha, that when a person passes away, the first yard site goes according to the day of burial. From that point on, the yard site is considered from the day of death. A close friend of ours, their mother passed away a year ago, and I wanted to check whether the dedication should be today or tomorrow. Yitz Hashem, it'll be tomorrow, Shir, hopefully. We do dedicate the Shir today for a complete refuah shleimer for Dr. Daniel Weil, a close friend who's having an operation in 50 minutes, 5-0. Daniel David Ben Chaya Gittel. Everything should go properly. It should make him 30, at least 30, 40 years younger, together with all of us. Hilchas Yom Kippur, Halacha Aleph. Al Pima Shekosav Rabbeinazal B'maymar Hayman Deboi Leminsev. This halacha will be based on chapter 29 in Likutei Moran. She'yefsher lahalbin haksomim vohadmimus shalachatoim shel kol hashesa gidin Ela al yedei tikun klolius hagidin. In that chapter in Likutei Moran, Rabbi Nizal speaks about tshuva, and he speaks about a person correcting all the blemishes, all the stains that come onto the neshama, the soul of a person, from the sins that a person commits. We know that the body, the human body, was designed by Hashem to correspond to the Torah. Just like the Torah has 248 positive commandments, the human body has 248 corresponding evorim, organs. Just like the Torah has 365 negative commandments, the human body has 365 gidin. My rabbi, Rav Rosenfeld, used to translate gidin to be tendons. So there, Rabbi Nizal speaks about purifying the redness, the red stains of a person's sins, which were caused by the 365 negative commandments. And Rabbi Nizal says there that it's impossible for a person to correct each and every one of them individually. And therefore, the only way to really repair the whole situation is through the tikkun of klolius hagidin, to repair the gid, the part of the body that's koilel all other parts of the body. Dahainu tikkun habris, which is tikkun habris, purity in the area of the bris koidesh, related to the relationship between men and women, everything pertaining to that. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the word bris is 612. With the kolel, it's 613, to show that this is kolel the entire Torah. And Rabbi Nizal says there, if a person repairs that, automatically everything else will also be repaired. Val yodoi nisalin hamoichen. By repairing the bris koidesh, this elevates the moichen, the chochman bin of the person. We know that by Yosef HaTzadik, when he showed his greatness to Paroi in being able to interpret Paroi's dream correctly, whereas all of Paroi's magicians and others couldn't interpret it correctly, Paroi said, "Ein chocham v'novoin kamoicha." I see there is no one with chochma and bina like you. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, Siluka de Yesoida ad Abba ve'ima, that the Midah of Yesoid, which is Tikkun HaBris, reaches all the way up to Abba and Ima, which is Chachman Bina. So Rabbi Nizal says there that by repairing the Bris, which is the Klolius HaGidin, it's a composite of all the Gidin, through this the person's Moichen is elevated. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, Kenesher Yo'ir Kinoi. Rabbi Nizal brings this pasuk over there in Likutei Moran, and he quotes the Zohar HaKadosh, which says that Nesher is Ruach. A Nesher flies in the winds. And the Zohar HaKadosh compares the Nesher to Ruach, which is a term used also about Tikkun HaBris. And Kinoi, the term Kinoi, means refers to the pasuk Knei Chachma, Knei Bina, that the Nesher, the Ruach, the Tikkun HaBris, awakens and arouses the Chachma and Bina. Nishra Darucha, Hainu Bechinas Tikkun HaBris. Vaydeze Nimshach Lavnunis Min HaMoyach, and when there is Tikkun HaBris, it enables us to draw whiteness from the brain. The brain is usually referred to as libuna demoicha, the white matter of the brain, lehalbin ho'admimus, to whiten the redness. Redness is the color of the stains on the neshama. When a person does averos, there are many psukim in Tanakh that use this terminology. When it talks about tshuva, repairing sins, it's whitening, laundering our sins, and whitening. We know that on Yom Kippur, the Gemara in Shabbos, I just saw it yesterday, the Mishnah in Shabbos, which mentions three things, and the third item it mentions there is the red thread, the red piece of cloth that was tied to the goat that was going to be thrown off Mount Azazel on Yom Kippur, upon which were transferred all the sins of the Jewish people. And before the goat was pushed off, if the sins were forgiven, they would see that red cloth change miraculously to white, to show that Hashem had purified all the sins of Klal Yisrael, all the red stains. Bibchinas Loshon Shel Tzemer. This corresponds to that cloth of wool, Hamal Ben Avonos, which represents the whitening of our sins. V'zeh b'chinas b'godim levonim. And over there in Likutim Aran, Rabbein Ezal also speaks about white garments, meaning pure garments that represent purity, no sins, no redness. Ayin Shom, look over there, look over chapter 29 in Likutim Aran. I believe that shir was given by Rabbein Ezal on Shavuos, if I'm not mistaken. And it's brought that year Rabbein Ezal wore a white begodim on Shavuos, on Yontif. Just take a look for a moment. Many of the editions of Likutei Moran show you in the back when each Torah was said. Unfortunately, the one that I'm looking at doesn't have it, but I believe it was on Shavuos. Okay. Now we begin Rav Nosson Zal's expounding on this. V'zeh b'chinas Yom HaKippurim. The things that are spoken about in that chapter on Likutei Moran are related to Yom Kippur, shenikba lemechila v'leslicha, which was established as a day of forgiveness. We know that there are three terms usually that are used to refer to forgiveness: kapara, slicha, and mechila. And there are different opinions in some of the Sfarim, and there are three terms used related to sins: chatoim, avoinois, and pshoim. There are some different opinions as to what the matchup is between them. My Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld, when he gave a shiur on Yom Kippur, he spoke about this, and he mentioned that according to the Arizal, I believe it is, that the order is kapara, slicha, mechila, for chatoim, avoinois, and pshoim. That's the Seder. So here Rav Nosson Zal makes reference to two of them, mechila v'leslicha, al yedei tikkun HaBris. It was established as a day of forgiveness through the power of tikkun HaBris, shena seboi, which was established on the day of Yom Kippur. How was it established? Ki be'etzem hayoim hazeh nimoil Avraham. Because the Torah tells us that it's specifically on this day that Avraham Avinu had his bris. The first person to be commanded by Hashem to have a bris milah. And that bris took place when Avraham Avinu was 99 years old. His sandak was Hashem. And there's a custom that the sandak gives a gift to the parents, to the father of the child. And it's brought that the gift that Hashem gave Avram Avinu was Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk says, V'choros imoy habris, Loseis loy es eretz haknani achiti v'amoyri, showing the connection between the bris and receiving Eretz Yisrael. It's brought that the number 99, Avraham Avinu, everything has precision and everything has a meaning to it. The fact that Avraham Avinu had his bris when he was 99 years old, and he was the first one to be instructed by Hashem to have a bris milah, and for this reason, even though he knew about it before, the Gemara says, Godol ha-mitzuva v'isa, that it, a person has a chance to do a mitzvah before Hashem instructs them to do it, or after the instruction, it's much better to do it after the person is instructed. Although, some mitzvahs, a person can jump ahead and do it, but here, it's a mitzvah that a person could only do once in his life. A bris milah is something that a person only has once, and it's brought that that's one of the reasons why Avraham Avinu waited to be told by Hashem to give this mitzvah the full impact, the full power. So the number 99 in Hebrew is Tzadik Tes. Tzadik is 90 and Tes is 9. When you write those letters as a word, Tzadik, Tzadik Dalid Yud Kuf, Tes, Tes Tof, it's Bigimatria 613, which is again Bris with the Kolel, showing that this mitzvah is Kolel, all the Taryag mitzvahs, and again, showing that the first bris took place at the age of 99. Yitzchok Avinu was the first one to have his bris when he was 8 days old. Kimuva bis'am. V'hu hayo harishoin le'tikin ha-bris. Avraham Avinu was the first one to achieve this level of tikin ha-bris. Ki la'avraham nitno barishoino bris mila. Because he was the first one who was given this commandment of bris. Mila, umachmashenase b'yoyim zeh, and because it took place on Yom Kippur, on the 10th day of Tishrei, alkein nikba yoyim hazeh ledoyrois, leyoyim kippur uslicha. That's one of the major factors as to why this day was established for generations as a day of forgiveness and atonement. Kalidei tikkun habris, nislapen ha'avonos kanal. Because as we mentioned before, through tikkun habris, all of the person's sins are whitened, are cleansed. V'zeh shom rabbi senuzal, and this is why the Gemara tells us, itzumai shel yoyim mechaper. The wording in the Gemara is that the essence of the day itself of Yom Kippur is what forgives. The day itself is so holy that it itself forgives for sins. Now note, it uses the word be'etze itzumoy shel yoyim. It says, and we find that when it came to the bris milah of Avraham Avinu, it says be'etzem hayoyim hazeh nimoy l'Avram. On the essence of this day, Avraham Avinu had his circumcision, as we mentioned before. V'zehu bechinas begodim levonim shaloivshim b'yom ha-kippurim. And this explains the custom of wearing a white kittel on Yom Kippur. And even women generally try to wear a white dress, white garments on Yom Kippur. V'chein kol avoidas hayoyim bebigdei lovon. And so too all of the major service in the Beis HaMikdash by the Kohen Gadol was done with him wearing his white garments, those special four white garments. Because when there's tikkun habris, the garments become white. They're whitened. V'chein achar kach b'yimei Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom nisratza kodesh baruch hu b'yoyim hazeh le'moshe b'simcha. And so too, later on in history, way after Avraham Avinu, during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the day on which Hashem was completely appeased by Moshe Rabbeinu regarding the sin of the golden calf. And Hashem was appeased besimcha. Hashem was willing to give the forgiveness with complete happiness. V'omar loy, and Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Solachti, I forgive completely. Shezeo b'chinas slichois pegama bris. And this also represents specifically forgiveness for pegama bris. Ki chet ho'egel hoyo pegam habris. because the sin of the golden calf, everybody knows it to be a sin of idol worship. But what was underlying the idol worship was Pigama Bris. As the Gemara says, Loy Ovdu Yisroel Avoidezoro Elo Kedei Lahatir Lahem Aroyos Befarhesia. The reason why the Erev Rav instigated that golden calf and the people that participated in it was that this should be a stepping stone to avail them to arayos, to committing sins with between men and women, bifarhesia, openly. Umachmas shenislach veniskanos pigama bris. And because of the fact that the pigama bris was forgiven and repaired at that time on Yom Kippur by Hashem saying, I forgive, Al-Kain Nikba Lemechilo Ledoiris Kanal. That's why this day was established as a day of forgiveness for generations. Veze Pirush Solachti Kidvorecho. And now we understand also why Hashem said specifically, I forgive based on your words, based on your Dibur. Because the chapter on Likut Imran that we're basing this halacha on begins with Tikkun Hadibur. Rabbein Azal begins by saying there that not every dibur is considered dibur. Not everything a person says is considered speech. It's only really considered human speech when it's with das, when it's with seichel. And Rabbein Azal shows this. He quotes a pasuk there, gam beloy das nefesh loy toiv, that without das, the nefesh is not good. And nefesh is also associated with dibur. There's a pasuk, nafshi yotzo bedabroi. My soul comes forth when I speak. Ki tikun hadibur, kifi tikun hadibur, kein haslicha. Because according to how perfected a person's speech is, that will affect the forgiveness. Ki tikun hadibur, hu gam kein bechinas tikun abris. Because Tikkun HaDibur is also directly associated with Tikkun HaBris. As Rabbein Azal, Bebechinas Kenesher Yo'ir Kino Yanal, K'moy Shekosuv Beferush Hamayim Ranal. As Rabbein Azal writes very clearly over there in Likutei Moran. We know that throughout the Torah Shebal Peh, in the Gemara, in Sifrei Kabbalah, in Sifrei Chassidus, they speak about a direct connection between the Bris HaMo'er and the Bris HaLoshon. The Bris HaMo'er refers to the Bris in the lower part of the body. The Bris HaLoshon is the tongue. They're both called Bris. And there are several places in Likutei Moran throughout many Sforim where they show the connection between these two. We know that it's brought that the 10 Midos of Hashem, the Sphirois, appear in different formats. They take on different formats. One format is where they extend throughout the entire body, so that the head is Chochma, Bina, and Das, and the right hand is Chesed, the left hand is Gvura, the torso of the body is Teferes, the right leg is Netzach, the left leg is Hoid, and the Bris, the organ, is Yesoi, the Mid of Yesoi. There's another representation of the 10 spheroids, all in the head, in the face, where the eyes are Chesed and Gvura, the nose is Tiferes, the lips, the upper lip is Netzach, the lower lip is Hoid, the tongue is Yesoid, and the Dibur is Malchus, the speech is Malchus. So we see that Dibur is also directly connected to Tikkun HaBris. In that Torah, Rabbein Azal says again, Kenesher Yoyer Kinoi, that the Tikkun HaBris is what awakens the Knei Chochma, the Knei Bina. It awakens the brain. It improves the thought process of a person. The more a person is pure in Tikkun HaBris, the more they're thinking properly. And the more a person has the right thoughts, the more a person has Tikkun HaBris. And we mentioned before that perfection of Dibur is when the Dibur is with Das, when the Dibur is with Das, so that, and Das is the combination of Chochm and Bina. So the Das, the Seichel of a person, is dependent on the Tikkun HaBris. So Hashem says, Solachti kidvorecha. I forgive based on your tikkun hadibur, based on the shlemus hadibur. I see some questions being mentioned. The order again, kapora, slicha, u'mechila, for chatoim, avoinois, and pshoim. That's the order. Even though you'll find in some sidurim and some machzorim a different order, my Rebbe told us, follow the machzor. Even if it's not in that order. However, in your own personal prayer, or in those places where you will see it mentioned in that order, you'll know that it's following the Arizal's guidance in terms of what the order should be. The eyes are organs which play a role in Tikkun HaBris, in Shmiras HaBris. A major part, Tikkun HaBris, begins with a person being careful not to look where they're not supposed to. But in terms of representing the meat of Yesoid, it's the tongue. Rav Nosson Zal writes now, V'chein shamati signoim pirish zeh be'inyin acher al posik solachti kivorech anal. And I also heard from Rabbi Nachman, from Rabbeinu Zal, another variation of the explanation of this solachti kidvorecha other than what appears in Torah Choftes. Kefi hadibur kein haslicha mipi Rabbeinu Zal. That I heard this explained in another way, in that based on the dibur, that's what will affect the slicha, the kapara slicha. V'al kein, and therefore, kol avoidos yom kippurim b'koyin gadol. All of the most important service in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur could only be done by the Koyin Gadol. Ki ha-koyhanim hein b'bechina shmira sabris. Because the Kohanim in general represent purity in the bris. K'moshe kosuv, as it says in the pasuk, yoiru, this is in the Zeis HaBrocha, when it speaks about Shevet Levi and the Kohanim, who are part of Shevet Levi, it says there, yoiru mishpotecho le'yakov, they are the ones who will teach the laws of the Torah to the Jewish nation, v'soyroscho li'Yisrael. Why? Ki shamru imrosecho uverischo yinsoiru. Because they are the ones who uphold the commandments of Hashem, and they guard the bris. They are shomer habris. This is what's written regarding the Kohanim. V'al kein muzhorim al kedushas habris b'yoser. And this is why Kohanim have additional requirements in Tikkun HaBris that the rest of us don't have. K'moshe kosuv, as it says, kedoshim yihyu, that the Kohanim should be extra holy. All of Klal Yisrael is called Am Kodesh, but the Kohanim are extra. There are certain women that a non-Kohen is allowed to marry, and a Kohen is not. A Kohen cannot marry a Grusha, other women. And the Gemara says, Kol mokoim sh'atomoitze geder erva, atomoitze kedusha, as it says in Medrash Rabbah. That wherever you find boundaries of Shmira Sabris, there you find holiness. So if the Kohanim are called Kodesh, it's because they have this additional level of Tikkun HaBris. Ki heim muzhorim b'isurei ishus yoiser miYisrael. Because Kohanim are instructed with more laws, more strictness regarding the relationship with women, more than other Jews. V'hakoyen hagodol me'echov, and the Kohen Gadol, who is the most superior Kohen, who muzhar be'isurim yeserim b'toisves kedusha, he has even more laws of strictness of Tikkun HaBris than ordinary Kohanim. K'moy shekosuv, ki kodosh hu leilokov, that he's not even allowed to marry a widow because he is holy, he is sanctified to Hashem. V'hu hakodosh b'kedushas HaBris, Umuzor beisure ishus yoiser mikol Yisrael umikol haKohanim, and the Kohen Gadol is the holiest one in Tikkun HaBris, and he is the one who has more requirements of Tikkun HaBris than all the other Jews and all the Kohanim. V'al kein, and therefore, avoidas yoyim haKippurim kedei lechaper avoinois, einoi ksheira elaboy, And therefore, the service in the Beis HaMikdash of Yom Kippur to have all of our sins forgiven is only proper if it's being done by the Kohen Gadol. Ki hu yochoy lahorim hadas al yidei ktushas habris, because he is the one who's in the best position to elevate the das to his holiness in Tikkun HaBris, and thereby lahamshich lavnunis, to draw from the chachma and bina, from the moichin, from the seichel, to draw whiteness, lahal ben avoinois, to whitewash our sins, to bleach all of our sins. V'zeh b'chinas mashekosu b'koin godol asher yutzak al roisho shemen amishcha. And this is also why the Torah tells us about the Kohen Gadol, that he was the one who had smeared on his head the holy oil of the Shemen HaMishcha, Shehu Bechinas Das Elyon, which represents oil, especially Shemen Zayis, always represents a very high level of Das. The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, the symbol of light, was with Shemen Zayis. Which he was zoche to through kedushas habris. V'chein samuch mikroze al inyan kedushas habris. And we know that that pasuk, where it speaks about the Kohen Gadol having this holy oil placed on his forehead, is specifically associated with Tikkun HaBris. K'mo shekosuv shom, as it says over there, I believe it's in Achrei Mois, V'hakoyen hagodol asher yutzak al roisho shemen amishcha, and then right afterwards it says, almono ugrusho lo yikach. He is not allowed to marry a widow or a divorcee, K'moshe Kosov, as it says, ki kodosh hu leilokov, because he is specially holy to Hashem. Ki zeh tolui bozeh, because the Tikkun HaBris and the das, the seichel, the shemen mishchas kodesh, are dependent on each other. V'alkein hayu shomrei moisoi beyoser mitumas keri. And this is why the Kohen Gadol was guarded more so than anybody else to ensure that he wouldn't chas v'sholom have a mikra on the night of Yom Kippur, that he wouldn't chas v'sholom become tamei through keri. The Masechta Yuma, which is the Gemara for Yom Kippur, begins with that topic. Why? Because the entire avoida of Yom Kippur and the forgiveness is dependent on this, is dependent on Tikkun HaBris. And it's for this reason that the Kohen Gadol and the people with him stayed up all night, the night of Yom Kippur, ki hu Tikkun HaBris, because that represents Tikkun HaBris, al yidei shemachnien hashena, by defeating the sleep, by lessening and eliminating sleep, shehu bechinas targum. We know that sleep is compared to targum, k'mo shekosavnu lamala, as was discussed in previous halachas and likutei halachas. We know that we're told that when Hashem wanted to create Chava, it says Hashem imposed a tardema, a deep sleep, on Adam HaRishon, and that's when Hashem performed the surgical procedure in order to create Chava. The Arizal says that the word tardema, which means a deep sleep, is bigimatria targum. Targum means Aramaic, and there's several chapters in Likutei Moran, there's a lot written about this, that targum is the intermediary between Loshon HaKodesh, between holy speech, and the other languages. And sleep is associated with, sleep is tardema, and sleep is associated with targum, because during sleep a person has dreams, and the dreams are good and bad. They could be accurate dreams, or they could be false dreams. Dreams are ma'ur of toiv and ra. And this is why it was a requirement of the Kohen Gadol that he had to be married in order to perform the service on Yom Kippur. Because a man who is not married, that's considered chas v'shalom an aspect of pigama bris. V'ze shenizkar etz lavoides yom kippurim misas bnei aron. And this is why in Parshas Achrei Mois, in the beginning, in where the Torah speaks about every the service of the Kohen Gadol in the Beis Hamikdash on Yom Kippur, that parsha begins by speaking about the death of Nadav and Avihu, the passing away of the sons of Aaron HaKohen. Vanu koirin zois b'yom HaKippurim. And that's the Torah portion that we read on Yom Kippur in the morning. Ki chetom hoyo deloyin sibu. There are several reasons given in the Gemara as to why they were punished, why the sons of Aaron HaKohen were killed by Hashem. A fire came down from heaven and destroyed them at the time when they tried to offer Ketores in the Mishkan. The Zohar HaKadosh says the reason, what was wrong with their service was that they weren't married. They attempted to bring the holiest korban in the Beis HaMikdash, the Ketores, when they weren't married, and that couldn't be done. V'alkein lo yhoyu ro'uyim lichnois lamokim shenichnesu. And the fact that they weren't married is what made them unworthy, unqualified, to enter into the Kodesh HaKadosh and to offer k'toiris. V'alkein istalku, and that's why they passed away. Ki I efshir lichnois lifnai v'lifnim. Because it is impossible for a Jew to enter into the inner sanctuary of Hashem, lahamshich das elyon, to be able to draw down that highest level of das from heaven, which was the oroin in the Holy of Holies, was the oroin which had the luchos, which is the Torah, the ultimate in das. Ki im al yedei tikkun habris bishleimus, unless a person has perfected their tikkun habris. And this is why it's also brought shenichnesu shtuyayin, that they went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim after they had drunk wine. Ze bechinas nichnas yayin yotzav soid hamuzkar shom b'divrei Rabbeinu b'maamar hazeh. In chapter 29 in Likutei Moran, which is our chapter, which is what this halacha is based on, Rabbeinu Zalveir has a whole section about wine. About wine in holiness, and how wine can lead to drunkenness, it could lead to pigama bris, it could lead to the worst sins. That when a person drinks wine, secrets come out that shouldn't come out. A person's tongue is loosened, and they say things very often that they shouldn't say, chas v'sholom. V'hakol b'china achas. Rav Nosson Zal says, it's all one. It's all focusing on this issue of pigama bris. We know that the Torah, the Gemara says, why is the parsha of Soita written next to the parsha where the Torah speaks about drinking wine, about a nazir taking on an obligation not to drink wine at all? The Gemara says, because when a person will see a Soita taking place, a woman who is suspected by her husband of indecent behavior, chas v'shalom, committing pigama bris, the person will immediately decide to refrain from wine. Because wine, when it's drunk improperly, is one of the most powerful things that lead to pigama bris. And this is one of the reasons why, contrary to popular opinion today, unfortunately, at one time, Chassidim were known for drinking. Today, unfortunately, even the non-Chassidim are drinking to excess. Unfortunately, it's a terrible, terrible tragedy that supposedly religious people have kiddush clubs, and instead of drinking a shot glass of whiskey, are drinking 8-ounce cups and 16-ounce cups of whiskey and wine, and getting drunk at Kiddushim on Shabbos, and drinking during the weekdays, all kinds of excessive, unnecessary, forbidden, treif drinking, which Rabbi Nachman in Likutei Moran speaks out very, very clearly, emphatically, showing how chas v'shalom drunkenness is one of those things that's a complete disconnect from Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal warned us that only a little bit when it comes to drinking, limit it at all times, even on Shabbos and Yom Tov at a wedding, when it is permitted, it should be done very delicately, carefully. There's a story with Rav Nosson Zal that Rav Nosson Zal once came to Rabbi Nachman on Purim. He wanted to be there for Purim, but due to all kinds of extenuating circumstances, he ended up arriving on Shushan Purim. And there was still celebration going on at the time, and Rabbeinu Zal was mechabed him with whiskey, with a little bit of whiskey. And Rabbeinu Zal took a small, like 1 ounce cup of whiskey, and Rabbeinu Zal just filled the bottom of the cup, the bottom of the 1 ounce cup, which means he put in a quarter of an ounce and gave it to Rav Nosson Zal. And Rabbeinu Zal said, "A bissel is euch git, a little bit is also good." And this was an important lesson about drinking, and it was an important lesson for life. Rav Nosson Zal said that from that incident, he received an incredible message of advice that he needed desperately, because he said until that point, when he had an opportunity to learn, when he had 15 minutes or 10 minutes or a half hour, to him that didn't really count for learning. To him, learning meant a few hours, 6 hours, 8 hours of learning. That was a learning session. And the small pieces of time he wasn't really taking advantage of. But he said that when he heard Rabbeinu Zal say those words, "A bissel is euch git," it set off an alarm in his mind. And from that point on, he started grabbing every minute. And it increased his learning and his avodas Hashem manyfold. But again, getting back to the topic of drinking, that this is something extremely, extremely dangerous, forbidden, and associated with Pegama Bris. Another very important point I want to make while we're on this topic. Again, it's mentioned in Halacha, but my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld put tremendous emphasis on it that I haven't seen in other places. That it's mentioned that when a person feels terrible over the passing away of tzaddikim, and especially if a person is zoche to cry over the passing away of tzaddikim, that's a complete atonement for all sins. And that's a tremendous protection that the person should never experience, chas v'shalom, any children passing away, anything like that. So it's brought that on Yom Kippur morning, after Shacharis, when the Baal Kore reads the Torah, the first pasuk that he reads is Vayadaber Hashem el Moshe acharei Mois shnei b'nei Aaron b'korvosam lefnei Hashem vayamusu. Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu after the two sons of Aaron HaKohen died, when they tried to get close to Hashem and they died, they passed away. It's brought that when a person is hearing that pasuk, they should try, if possible, to cry, to shed tears, because it's an incredible, incredible tikkun for the person. If a person can shed tears, at least to concentrate and to try to really feel that this is one of the greatest losses for Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says, "Kosher silukon shel tzadikim kiflayim kechurban beis hamikdash," that the passing away of a tzaddik is 2 times as great a loss as the loss of the beis hamikdash. It's something very serious. And in our shul, Rav Rosenfeld would ask the Baal Kore to wait 30 seconds, not an hour, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, before he starts reading, not after the person made the bracha, the person, the Kohen, is being called up for that aliyah, to give the people a minute or so to prepare, to really concentrate, that this is one of the highlights of Yom Kippur, when that first pasuk is being read, to concentrate, to realize what a loss this was. Because these were 2 very great tzaddikim. There's a lot written about them. That Moshe Rabbeinu said to his brother Aaron HaKohen, "I thought that we were special in the eyes of Hashem, but I see that your sons were even greater, that they were chosen for this Kiddush Hashem, this Kvoid Shamayim, on the day of the initiation ceremony of the Mishkan." There's a lot more to say about this, but for now, let's get back to our topic. Any questions now, please?
It obviously seems that Tikkun HaBris is always a very central theme, and it sounds like it's connected to all mitzvahs and all, you know, lavim and asin. Is that accurate?
Very accurate. The Zohar Kodesh makes a statement which Rabbeinu Zal, Rav Nosson Zal quote many times, Ikra de Yitzra Bisha al Arayin. The main mission of the Yetzer Hara is Arayos, to get us to sin in this area, Chas V'Shalom, because he knows that this affects everything. This part of the body, when a person, especially it's brought in Sifrei Hasidus, in the relationship between men and women, which is accomplished through this part of the body, the Midas HaYesoid, every part of the body, from head to toe, all the energy of every part of the body is involved in that. That's one of the reasons why this is everything. And again, the word bris is bigimatria taryag, with the koil, to show that this is kol ha-toira kula, it's everything. And chas v'shalom, a person fails in this, everything else becomes blemished, unfortunately, can be harmed. Rabbeinu Zal, in all of his teachings, shows us how to improve in this and how to try to improve in other areas, which will help improve in this area also. In this chapter on Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal goes so far as to say that when a person has pegam habris, then their das is damaged. And therefore, even when that person comes to the tzaddik, they will misinterpret or misunderstand the words of the tzaddik to such an extent. And Rav Nosson Zal asks, if that's the case, then one second, that then there's no tikkun. Rav Nosson Zal says, yes, there is a tikkun. The tikkun is that if a person knows that they are not perfect in Tikkun HaBris, that they have a long way to go in that area, they need to know that their brain is damaged, and therefore, I'm going to try not to use my brain as much as possible, to put my seichel aside, and to use the seichel of the tzaddik. Simple Simon says, do this, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to try to say, no, first I'm going to think it out. First I'm going to process it in my brain. I'm going to hear what the tzaddik says, then I'll think it over based on everything that I know and that I've learned and everything, and then I'll figure it. A person who has that kind of attitude, if their brain is damaged, it's very likely that they won't necessarily get the benefits of the words of the tzaddik. Whereas if the person is capable of putting their own seichel aside as much as possible, when they find the right tzaddik, and to use his seichel, his pure seichel, that's how the person can repair everything that needs to be repaired inside. They can receive the das of the tzaddik and receive the full tikkun that can be gotten from coming close to a tzaddik.
Thank you. And just what about, let's say, kashrus or ritzicha or avodah zarah, that all...
They're all important and they're all connected. We just showed you now, Rav Nosson Zal just gave us one example to show the kesher between Avodah Zarah and Arayos. And we know that to be, that's not just a few, today also, they go together. These things are all connected and interconnected. You know, as most people, you mentioned the Egel Azov, it's Avodah Zarah. Next. Unless people have learned the Gemara and learned the Rashi and learned the Midrashim, they don't know that the Avodah Zarah was a lead. You know, like when a salesman, when people are trying to sell things in a store or on the internet and they put out a lead. You know, they want a person to come in, they show them something, but that's not really what they're interested in getting. They just want the person to take out their wallet, to open up a little, and then they're going to sell them something else that's 1,000 times more expensive and more important. Here, the Torah is showing us that Avodah Zarah is a pre-game for Arayos. It's a lead. The Avodah Zarah is terrible. It's terrible. But Arayos can cause even more damage, Rachman al-Son, than the Avodah Zarah. And Ritzicha, you're going to see throughout the Limud of Chassidus, and especially in Likutei Halachos, Rav Nosson Zal will show us how everything is connected. It's all connected, and especially connected to the Bris Kodesh.
Is this because Das comes from Hashem, and the place in question is where the covenant between Hashem, so when you break that covenant, you're literally breaking your relationship with God?
Definitely. There are thousands, literally thousands of reasons that are mentioned, you know, to show this, that we're going to come across throughout Likutei Halachos.
Rav Nosson talked just a little bit about Simcha and the regret that people feel about drinking or about the mistakes that are made with the bris. It's like, oh boy, I hear this and I'm so sad now.
Oh, the answer is, to respond to what you're saying, Rav Nosson Zal, in other places, when he speaks about tshuva, he says, let me tell you how the Yetzer Hara operates. When a person's supposed to feel bad and ashamed and embarrassed, when the Yetzer Hara is inviting the person to commit a sin, then the person has azus, chutzpah, brazenness, to go directly against Hashem and to commit the sin, to go ahead and commit whatever sin it is. After the sin has been committed, when the Torah says, then you need to have the guts and the chutzpah to go over to Hashem and say, Hashem, I'm sorry, I'm an idiot. I know I did a terrible thing. I'm a moirei b'malchus. I rebelled against the king. I know I shouldn't have done it, and I shouldn't be doing that, and I should say, then suddenly the Yetzer Hara becomes shy. He becomes mamish. So how dare you? What kind of chutzpah are you? To think, you're just spitting Hashem's face and you think you can just go over and ask for forgiveness? The Yetzer Hara pulls a reversal on the person. He turns things upside down. Whereas the correct way is that when a person is being invited or seduced or convinced to commit a sin, that's the time to stand strong, to be tough. And I'm sorry, that's the time to feel how ashamed and embarrassed I would be to even entertain the thought of doing such a thing, going against the creator of the world, the king of all kings. But once the person has committed a mistake, once the person committed a sin, whatever it was, pigam abris, murder, avodah zarah, drinking, everything and anything, Rabbeinu Zal told us, ein shum yiush boil. There is no such thing as giving up. There is no such thing as anything that cannot be repaired. The Zohar HaKadosh says that there is a sin for which there is no tshuva. And Rabbi Nachman and the Shiloh HaKadosh and several other tzaddikim who had the greatest respect in the world for the Zohar HaKadosh say, that's not what he means. He's saying that to test you, to see if you're going to take the bait and think and allow yourself to be convinced that it cannot be. There's no such thing as no repair. We see that the Torah tells a story about Acher, who was a Tana, who committed Avodah Zorah, Gilui Araya, Shfichas Damim. The Gemara says everything. And then he left the world without doing complete tshuva. The Gemara shows how there was a little bit of tshuva on his lips but before he left the world. But then even after he died, tzaddikim, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yochanan, were able to cure in heaven. They were able to get him into Gehenna, to start the healing process, and then they were able to take him out of Gehenna and bring him into Gan Eden. And Simcha is a critical piece, one of the most critical pieces in what we're speaking about now. Rabbi Nachman stresses, when a person is in Atzvus, they are a prime target for Pigam HaBris. And this is proven by many psukim in Tanakh and Gemaras. We're going to come across this in our learning. There are many psukim to show that Atzvus, lack of Simcha, means prime candidate, prime target for Pigam HaBris. And Tikkun HaBris and Tshuva are dependent in Simcha, even after the person knows that they committed a sin. Because sometimes, and this is written in many Sfarim, sometimes the Satan is not so much interested in the sin itself, the Pigam HaBris or any other sin. If he gets the person to commit that sin, he scored a $100 sale. If the person gets depressed after they committed that sale, after they committed the sin, it becomes a $100,000 sale. The damage that's done by lack of simcha, by atzlus, by depression, is far greater than any other sin. And in fact, one of the great tzaddikim once said that atzlus is not one of the 365 laven in the Torah, but it can do more damage than all 365 put together. And they said mikveh is not one of the 248 positive commandments for a man. And yet the repair that mikveh can do can be far greater than all 248 mitzvahs together. So these are very important pieces of advice, you know, regarding what we're speaking about.
Kol hakavod, Rav Maimon. You mentioned in the beginning that Rav Benazal associated Nesher with Pigama Britnam. I'm curious if this has anything to do with Arvit, the sort of Nesher that it's, you know, you're talking about Targum, and maybe that has to do with Sechel also coming from the Chamber of Exchanges, or I don't know if any of that is associated.
Very possible. There are specific psukim that Rav Benazal brings. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Nishra Darucha, that the Nesher is associated with Ruach. Now we know, for example, there are the four images on the throne of Hashem, which are Aryeh, Shoer, Nesher, and Adam. And those four images also correspond to the four basic elements of creation, Eish, Mayim, Ruach, and Ofor. I believe that that's one of the associations between Nesher and Ruach. In addition, and in terms of Ruach and Tikkun HaBris, a tzaddik is called Ish Asher Ruach Boy. That's the terminology that's used in the Torah. And in addition, the Torah tells us in the story, when Yehoshua was going to conquer Eretz Yisrael, to lead the Jews into Eretz Yisrael, and first he sent messengers ahead, and the Torah tells us they visited the home of a woman, Rachav, and they asked her, what's the status? What's going on in the city now? Are the people strong or weak? And she said, no, they're terrified. They're very frightened of you. Don't worry. You're going to be able to come in. You're going to be able to take over the city and all over Eretz Yisrael. So she used the wording, v'loikomo oid ruach bo'ish, that the people, the men have no spirit to them, no ruach. And the Gemara mentions that this refers to the issue of bris, that they were too weak, they were weak in this area. They couldn't perform in this area. The men didn't have koyach gavra. So they, again, that's a very clear association between ruach and tikkun HaBris.
Awesome. Thank you.
Any other questions, please? Somebody mentioned when a person does tshuva me'ahava, then the sins get converted to mitzvahs. That's definitely true. But I don't know if it happens necessarily in one shot. The Torah mentions throughout this concept of whitening of the sins, whitening, whitewashing, bleaching, removing the redness. And again, replacing it with whiteness. Whiteness is purity, whiteness is chesed, whiteness is ahava. The Zohar HaKadosh says, "Mi sitra d'yamina, moicha chivra kekaspa." That on the right, from the right side, from the midas hachesed, the moyach is white like silver. Any other questions? We know that every mitzvah we perform creates a positive angel, a defending angel. Every sin we commit, chas v'shalom, creates a prosecuting angel, chas v'shalom, against us. Okay, wishing everybody a wonderful day and a wonderful week. Shabbi zecha to all the yeshuas and refuas that all of us need. That's a shame.
Thank you, Rav Nassim.
Sure. All the best. All the best.
Thank you, Rav Nassim. Have a good day.
Have a good day.
Go ahead.
Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too, all of us.